Shouldn't be too hard. But just going to ask the quiz, and you let me know what the answer to the quiz is. When you're making a peanut butter sandwich, you only have one slice of bread. Is that piece of peanut butter sandwich, when you go to eat it, is it going to be open-faced or is it going to be closed? Huh? How many says it's going to be open? How many closed? Oh, got division in the church already. This might be a little more personal. TP, does it roll off the top or does it roll off the bottom? Top? Bottom? Anybody? Bottom, we got you. Okay. Of the roll I'm talking about, yeah. Toothpaste. You squeeze that thing from the middle? Or do you roll it up nice and neat? How do you roll it up? Roll it up. Any squeezers in the middle, just grab that thing and use it however you want. There you go. Doesn't matter what it looks like when you're done. Now here's a different one. You want to count the number three and use your fingers to determine how many fingers do you hold up? Three? Huh? You do it like that? Or like that? Or like that? Some of you are like this. There's a variety of ways in which we think about various things and the way in which we do some things. And a lot of them are determined by habits we've developed. Maybe even things that we've learned from other individuals. Maybe just like that commercial that maybe some of you have seen where the dad is taking his peanut butter sandwich and folding it over and the daughter says, well, what do you do that for? Well, because my dad did that and I just wanted to be like my dad. And she says, that's silly. The next thing you see is her hiding from her dad but folding that peanut butter sandwich over. We do learn some things from other individuals, and one of the things we learn about is how to deal with anxiety and how to experience peace in our lives. I'd like to initiate our time with prayer and then look at a few items of review for us and then get right into talking about verse 9 of Philippians chapter 4. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to be here today. Lord, I know that it is only by your grace and your mercy that I can have this opportunity to speak to the folks here today. Lord, I know that there is no merit in myself to have this privilege, but it's only because of your grace. And so, Father, I pray that I might be your vessel, a vessel that can clearly communicate the message that you have for us today. That, Lord, that we might be able to deal with issues that are pretty close to home in regard to things that are going on in our lives. Father, I pray that we might recognize there's great hope from your word. And we pray again in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You've been with us already. We've talked about the importance of studying the book of Philippians when you're looking for joy in your life. We talked specifically how that Philippians chapter 4 deals with the issues of anxiety. It tells us not to have anxiety, but instead by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And it tells us that we should think on those things, those eight items that we talked about last couple of weeks, and by thinking upon those things too, we help incorporate our mind in regard to those things. But what are the things that do bring us some stress in our life? And I took the opportunity to just kind of put a few things on the board here. Things like trying to figure out what our purpose in life is. What is the why am I here? What types of things are necessary? And that becomes pressure to us, or the trials that we might experience, or philosophy, trying to figure out what kind of tracks to lay in my life. What is my goal in life as far as what types of things guide that? Stewardship, how I deal with things and how that they should be used in my life. And then relationships, how do I respond to other people? Some have said that you are efficient with things and effective with people. And sometimes the lack of that efficiency or that effectiveness causes stress in our lives. As we study Philippians chapter 4, we'll find that there's three different areas of attack that we can go from. The first to attack anxiety. The first lesson we looked at the importance of prayer and how that when we pray, it's not just praying that we might be able to get out of a particular situation, but instead using prayer as access to a holy God who can help us endure and work through situations and develop character as a result of them. The second item or second front would be our thinking that we talked about the last couple of weeks, about making sure that our minds are renewed and used in a way that can be pleasing to God. Taking the proper CD, if you would, and sticking it in there so that we're playing the right themes instead of the wrong things over and over again. And today we want to introduce a third front. Those are our habits, those things that we do on a regular basis, on how we respond to particular situations, stimuli. And this is many times impacted by our habits. The prayer is our access with hope. The Bible helps renew our mind and thinking. And it's the impact of other individuals in incorporating these other two things that help us establish the habits in our life and how we respond to various situations. We want to get into our text in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. It says this: the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. There's two things that I note under this first point of getting new data for new habits. That's another one. Is it data or is it data? Never mind. Okay, to see how that we need to recognize that, as we looked at last week and week before, that information in our mind does have an impact on how our actions should be, and that from this perspective, the Apostle Paul, writing to people of Philippi, is telling them that there are things that they learned and things that they received. Now, the concept on these two different words, and the word learned is the same word that Paul will use in two verses later, where he talks and it says this. He says, "For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." It's the same word used to express that concept of, through my experiences, I have gathered data that allows me to be able to respond differently than if I hadn't had that data. That I've added to my knowledge base so that my actions can change. That's the concept of learning. That learning has that idea of not just getting information or storage. It has the concept of things being brought into your life with the idea that it's going to impact and change. The Apostle Paul will use it in the context of, when hard times come or when good times come, I have learned to be content in those situations, regardless of what conditions or circumstances are. How did he learn that? Through various data and experience and behaving a certain way in those type of situations. The other word he used is received. Talking about people of Philippi, those things which you've learned and received. Again, the Apostle Paul uses the word received in another place in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. "To that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." The Apostle Paul, for the longest time, had been an individual who was zealous for against the church. He was zealous to persecute the church. He wanted to find those individuals who believed in Jesus Christ and were perpetrating that what he considered a cult, and extinguish them. Now, it says, though, that he received the truth that Christ died on the cross for our sins according to the Scriptures. He took this information, and it not only came in to his life, his data bank, but it transformed his life. He went from being someone who chased down Christians so they could persecute him to chasing down Christians so he could edify and build them up. He went from trying to destroy the message to being one of the greatest proponents of the message. He was one of the greatest evangelists of his time, missionary work all over the world. Why did that happen? Because he took a message and he received it, and it changed his behavior. It changed what his habits were in regard to it. And that's what he's saying about the people of Philippi. He's encouraging them, "The things which you learned and received." I summarize it this way: truth accepted, incorporated, and implemented. And that gives us an idea that we need to be aware that there are things that we need to know. Things that we need to know that can change our behavior. At one stage in Paul's life, if anyone was to ask about Paul actually known as Saul at the time, what kind of guy he is, it depends on who you were talking to. If you were talking to someone who was anti-Christian, you'd say, he's a great guy. He's doing a great job for our cause. And you talk to a believer, they say, he's a scary man. He's dangerous. Stay away from this guy. He has a total different worldview than us. He's not a nice man. But something came into the life of the Apostle Paul to transform him, and he received this information and he became different. And that's how he could pen these words in 1 Corinthians where he says, such were some of you. Why can he say, such were some of you, if he hadn't experienced himself and understood it to be a major truth from God, that God can transform us? And so when we look at the issues of our life and how we respond to certain stimulus and how we respond to circumstances, and we say, well, I've always been this way. When hardships and trials come, I always respond by blank. My parents did that before me, and their parents did that before them. It is just a genetic thing, and we're going to be that way. The Apostle Paul says, such were some of you, that there is a possibility of bringing new information in your life. Things that we've learned, things that we've received, we've incorporated it, implemented them in our life, and they've changed us. There was a time when I would be petrified to stand up here and look at you guys. Not that you're that scary, but some of you are. But I would have been petrified to stand up here and talk in front of you. I did everything in my power. I didn't have a whole lot of power back then. But I did everything in my power to avoid being in front of people or having to talk in front of other individuals. There was some information that I received, information that I collected, received, learned about my calling in life, about God's purpose for me, about what He can do and take things that are not that great and make great things out of them, and to see my behavior then change. I got to tell you, I didn't go from being that individual that hated being in front of people to that person just loved being in front of people. It was a slow, painful process. And I can still remember the day when my pastor told me, he said, Scott, when you get up in front of people, they can't hear you. You mumble. You don't speak clearly. I want you to get out and stand behind the pulpit when nobody's in there, and I want you to daily speak for 15 minutes or so. I don't remember what the exact encouragement was. But I had to try to fill that whole auditorium because he said what I had to say was important, and if I didn't learn to do it right, then I was failing to accomplish what God wanted me to do. And so I had to receive and learn some information and start changing my life. Folks, some of us need to realize that we're at a stage in our life where we need to get off the wagon that we've been on and start listening to the Word of God and listening to the thing and start changing and truly receiving the Word of God. Not just hearing it to go in one ear or out the other, not just hearing it to have information so that we can repeat it to somebody else. We have to have it to where it's impacting our lives to become different. And in this realm of anxiety, some of us need to really put to practice some of the things we talked about the last few weeks. We need to learn to realize that God says worry is something we should not do. Anxiety is something we should not have. That as believers, we ought to recognize we have a Heavenly Father. And all these things, we renew our mind. God's saying that there is a pattern in our life that we need to start establishing. And it starts with those things you've learned and received. He goes on and says, and heard and saw in me. There's two different venues that he talks about. Number one, get new data for your new habits. Number two, would get data from reliable sources. Apostle Paul says, the things that you've learned and received and heard in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Two main venues. Those things that we hear, those things that are taught to us, whether we hear it in the official training type situation, or if you're sitting down and listening in a mentor type situation, or whatever it is, there's data that comes into our minds through what we hear or read, and it's stuff that gets logged in there, says we ought to do that. Then there's another thing It's what not only what we hear, it's what we see in the lives of other individuals. Sometimes, folks, that has a greater impact than what we have. We can say we've learned all these various things through our reading, but a lot of the habits we have, whether or not we eat the open-faced or closed-faced peanut butter sandwich, isn't because we read it someplace. It's because we've seen in someone else's life, we developed that interest. Hey, that sounds pretty good, and we tried it out, and we went ahead and done it that way. And we start learning these types of things by what we see. There's two main venues: what is taught by words, and what is caught from actions. What is taught by words and what is caught by actions. That there are two different areas in which the Apostle Paul emphasizes for the people of Philippi. You've learned, you've received, you've heard, you've seen in me these things. And the encouragement we have is to recognize what kind of venues or influences we have in our lives. Here's some different resources that I just put up on the board here. Things like books, school, family, media, experts, wherever we might get them from, friends. These are things that we might be listening to that give us an idea, or watching that give us an idea how we should respond to various things. And we kind of get an idea based upon who we hang with, who we listen to, who we watch. These are the types of things we start learning about how behavior should be. Children, from the time that they're this tall or whatever, they're watching those around them. So if they have some big people that are doing some things, they'll watch the big people and try to emulate that. If they've got other small people to be around, they can learn some things from that as well. Because they're observing. Why? Because they don't want to stay in the same status that they are. I can remember the time when one of our children, we were so excited about, feeding them the food at the high chair and all that stuff. And the day when the child just grabbed a spoon off the table and says, "I'm going to feed myself. I keep on getting it on the side of my face, and I'm going to do a better job." I don't know what the motivation was. But the idea was that they wanted to improve, and they watched how other people lived. They noticed nobody else was sitting there, or somebody else drove a spoon in their mouth. And they said, "I don't want to be like that. I want to be one that can be independent and do my own thing." And that's the way we develop these types of things. We learn it from all these various sources. Now, some of the sources we have in our life are not good for us. There are things that we're around. We can't understand why we keep on struggling with some of the same things. For example, we're saying, "I'm changing my prayer life. I'm starting to pray to God more, and I'm reading the Bible, and I'm trying to renew my mind, and I'm spending time in my devotions of quiet time, however you refer to it, and you're spending time reviewing these things in your life, but then you find I'm still struggling with particular areas." And one of those reasons might be because you still have access to these other exposures, where they provide information and patterns that are different. Like, for example, the Bible gives encouragements on the type of people we should hang with. The Bible says don't make friendships with an angry man. Now, why would the Bible say that? The Bible just picking on angry people? No, the Bible's just saying that when you make friendships with an angry man, you're hanging with an individual who has a certain pattern in their life. It says don't hang with the simple people. Doesn't mean they're not complex. It just means that they don't have any structure in their life. They just kind of go, and they don't develop any kind of true virtue to their life, etc. The Bible tells us that there's individuals that we should hang with that are going to help us to be stronger. And one of the reasons we might not be successful is because we might have the desire to renew our mind, the interest in praying, but we keep on spending time with those individuals and resources that might be discouraging. Here's a couple realms for us to consider. Someone drew this out for me. I thought I'd share with you. But basically, we have some realms of influence in our lives. For example, you have the, over on this side, you have the world. The world has all its own messages. It has, you should, when issues come into your life and things go wrong, you should have revenge, or you should worry about it, or you should respond with pride or self-centeredness and make sure that you're not being dissed, or be concerned about your feelings, that's what really should motivate you. If you're feeling good, it's good. If you're feeling bad, it's bad. If something feels good, it's got to be good. If it feels bad, it's got to be bad. And these are all world messages that continue to play over and over again. And are we exposing ourselves to that? And then the other one is God's messages. And this is just a few of them, but for example, what we're studying in Philippians chapter 4 of what God talks about, how we add joy into our life, or the fruit of the Spirit you find in Galatians chapter 5 as to what types of things God is a godly type habit. Or in Ephesians chapter 4 when he's talking about that which we put off and put on and renew in our minds. Those are the types of things that are on the two different areas. And so in between there you've got this little gap that's here. And in between you might have individuals that represent one of these two areas. In other words, over here you might have individuals who are sold out for God. They really want to live for Him. These are their primary concerns. You got a world of people that don't even care about any of that stuff, and their big emphasis is this over here, and they're interested in what the world has. They don't have any interest in the things of God. Most of us wouldn't dare spend our time over in this area. We wouldn't spend our time over here because it's too scared to be over here. But there's this middle ground here where someone has noted that kind of includes a couple types of people. Those that might be unbelievers. They don't have a faith in Jesus Christ, but for the most part, they're very moral people. They don't do a lot of bad things, but you know what? They're not motivated by these things here, but yet they're not necessarily motivated by some of the wicked habits that we see in the world, and so we're kind of comfortable with them because they match some of our morals. But yet they do not have the renewed, rejuvenated heart through Jesus Christ. And so they're kind of right in this middle area. They're not interested in being on fire for God as far as giving their heart completely over to Jesus Christ and such like that, because that's not an interest of them. They're not a believer. They're a good moral person, and they might have some things in common here, but they don't have these things over here, the desire to make Christ first in their life, etc. And the same thing might be true of those who claim the name of Christ, but yet they're in a lukewarm type thing, and their interests are, well, I want to be over here sometimes, I want to be over here sometimes, and you got this middle ground. We got individuals who are kind of someone's calling them the mugwumps. They got their mug on one side and their womp on the other side. They're sitting on the fence. But the mugwumps, or the straddlers, or whatever, they're just kind of in between, and they're not sure what they want to devote their life to, what they want to dedicate their life to. And sometimes we find ourselves hanging in this area where the majority of not individuals we're trying to help. Please differentiate. There's individuals who are wanting to help and pull a certain way, but there's times when the individuals we depend on, the individuals we lean on, the individuals we confide in, the individuals that we see as our models, etc., where do they fall? Are we spending time observing people like the Apostle Paul, the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me do? Or are we watching a lot of stuff that's over here? Or are we spending time in the middle that just kind of keeps us lukewarm and keeps us from being hot for the Lord? And as a result, when we try to think on those things in this area, or we try to express the fruit of the Spirit, or we try to renew our mind, the individuals we're hanging with do not understand those concepts, so they don't encourage us in these concepts. And so there's these things that we can learn when we're getting our data as to that there are proper sources. There's individuals that are going to help us to become more like Christ, and it's going to be people that are going to keep us from being more like Christ. And this is a message usually reserved for teenagers. He says, teenagers, you got to watch out for the peer pressure and the things that are there. And that is true. But I want to encourage you adults as well, because we do a very good job of spending a lot of time right in here. We spend a lot of time hanging with people that are not interested or capable of sharpening our life. And we got our lives so margined out that we don't have time to spend over here. We might dedicate an hour or maybe 2 hours a week to getting exposure to this kind of stuff, where we might be exposed to this kind of stuff for the majority of the rest of our time. And then we wonder, why can't I have victory in my life over certain things? The Apostle Paul is talking to people of Philippi and encouraging the things that you have learned, you have received, the things that you have heard and seen in me, do these things. We must make sure that we have access to those things that are going to help us be sharper for God. What are some of the things that the Apostle Paul was able to communicate to other individuals in 2 Timothy chapter 3? He's writing to Timothy, a young pastor, and encouraging them. Timothy was one who had grown up with Paul and observed him. And here's what Paul says. You have known these things. For you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Looking back again at the stresses that we noted in our lives, these five different areas, our purpose, our trials, philosophy, stewardship, relationship, you look and you overlap those now to the things Paul has just said, Paul's example. Under purpose, he says, you've known my purpose, you've known my faith. Under the area of trials, he says, you've known my afflictions. That he followed those, that Timothy was able to see Paul in those types of situations, hear what he had to say, but also observe how he responded in those particular things. When it comes to his philosophy, you've known my doctrine. When it came to his manner of life, you knew his stewardship, his manner of life, and the love and patience, his relationships with other people. The Apostle Paul is basically saying that we ought to follow the examples that he has done so that we can have the peace of God in our lives. That we should make sure we have before us those individuals that are tracking in the right direction for God. I do not know where I would be today if it weren't for some godly individuals, both my age and older, that I could put my eyes on and observe. Yes, they failed. And I am sure glad they failed at times. Because if they ever came off perfect, I'd be so discouraged. But those times that I noticed most was that they were humble and interested in following God and implementing His Word in their lives. And so as a result, that's the types of things that motivated me to want to change in my life. And I trust that you find individuals that are going to be on that side that we talked about that are excited about following God, are individuals that you're desiring to spend time with, to learn from, to be mentored by, so that you can grow and become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Timothy did under the example of Paul. The third thing we want to look at is to practice new actions to form new habits. That same verse, Philippians 4:9, the things that you've learned, received, heard, saw in me, these do. The word do is the word for repetitive action. You've ever worked in an assembly line? You've heard my rat bait story. All my job was I'd have to take the little thing that was extruded out of the machine, and it came in a little bar. And my job, every day, all day, was to do the same thing over again. Place that thing on the scale and pinch off or put on whatever needed to be to make it about a pound. That was my life when I was there at work. It was doing the same thing, over and over. And some of you are good at that. You're very repetitious type people, and you enjoy that, and that's great. But that was just such a strain on my little mind. It was just such a strain for me. And so I've got such a short attention span. I've got to do something different every 5 or 10 minutes, you know. But God is using that word do, a repetitive type of do, not just try it once. Folks, some of you have tried some things. You've heard it work, you've heard it from the Word of God, and you've tried it, and it didn't work the way you wanted, and you stopped. Honestly, you have. You have not done like what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Do over and over and over and over again. How did the Apostle Paul learn to be content? Because he dealt with situations that one would not normally be content in on a regular basis and came out on the victorious side the majority of the times. And the more he went through it, the more victorious he became. You will not get victory over sin, over worry, whatever it might be, if you try once to think on Philippians 4:8 and it didn't work. It is a regular habit of establishing a pattern in our life. And the important thing is recognizing that you must do it right. Right now, one of my children is starting basketball. I loved basketball when I was a child. Still enjoy it now. But I'm always one that I just don't have the height, the talent. Other than that, I'm pretty good. I remember desiring to be in basketball, and so my daughter's wanting to play basketball, and so I'm trying to teach all the things that I didn't learn. And one of those is how to shoot properly. And you know, you can start out, and as I did, you can start out shooting a certain way. And you can make baskets that way. And you can practice that and practice that and practice that. And they say practice makes perfect. No, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice just makes permanent. And you can practice the wrong thing. And so right now, we're trying to practice not shooting to where the arm goes in the wrong place, that the arm ends up in the right place, the elbow stays, and the wrist does the right thing, and all that type of stuff. You know what the first result is? Failure. Maybe you've done that? You tried to change, do things the right way? It's failure. Well, I can't make it that way. I want to go back to the other way, you know? Shooting from the ankle, whatever. And recognizing that sometimes that practice, that change, isn't easy at first. But one who does it the right way over and over again may not be that impressive right off the bat, but as time goes on, they will see things happen that they never thought would happen. I imagine when Larry Bird, and this dates me, but those of you that follow Larry Bird, when he first started, he probably wasn't anything like what he was at the prime of his shooting. But even at the prime of his shooting, he was out shooting three-pointers because he anticipated the time in the game when he would be called upon to sink that bucket. Even though he had proven himself over and again, he still did the do over and over again. Why? Because he wanted to make sure his form and everything was down, because when the pressure's on, it's hard to think about those things. Folks, the same thing's true in our hearts, that when we're dealing with trials and hardships in life, it's hard to stop and think about things that we ought to do. That's why we want to make it such a pattern in our life that we'll do the right thing automatically. We will respond the right way automatically. And that takes time of renewing our minds and changing our patterns. These things we do. Practice makes permanent. Perfect practice makes perfect. Now, we're not perfect beings, but we have the perfect Word of God. And if we desire to practice what it says, we will be on the road to developing habits that reflect that perfection. God says, be holy, for I am holy. Holy is that same concept of perfection. We should desire to constantly do over and over again. Not be satisfied with what we've been doing that kind of works. Okay? Do it the right way. Because what you're doing might kind of work when everything's okay. But when you're being guarded and when you're being attacked by the enemy, you need that which will work in that type of environment. And that's where God comes in to provide for us something that is beyond our own capabilities and make us do it the right way. In summary of the things we've talked about the last few weeks, actions for anxiety. One, let's pray biblical requests. Let's not pray to consume things on our own desires. Let's not look at God as being one who is there to make us happy, and that we pray in that regard, and that we're concerned about that everything else would fall into place, that we pray that God would remove this stress, remove this person, change this, change that person, all that type of stuff. God says the reason we have those fighting amongst us is because we don't pray, or because we pray amiss. We pray with the wrong motivations in our life. God wants us instead to pray like we're one of His, that we're desiring to be equipped by Him to accomplish that what He wants us to do, not to accomplish what we want to do. Pray biblical requests. Second of all, ponder biblical thoughts. Have a pattern of putting in biblical thoughts when the unbiblical thoughts want to take over. Have at your access, whether it's a 3x5 card, or whether it's something on your computer screen, or whatever it might be, that jogs your memory back to those things you ought to be thinking on, and push out the things that you should not be thinking on. And thirdly, pursue biblical models. It is okay to have individuals that are in your life that you should be concerned about, that do not fall into the category of those who are on fire for God. It's virtually impossible to eliminate your life from those type of situations, honestly. And it's healthy for us to have individuals that we can seek to bring up and to encourage and to mentor and to evangelize. But if they become the ones that we're following and the ones that we're becoming like, we are failing to follow the model God has said. Apostle Paul says, the things you've seen me do, not the other Philippians, not the world, what you've seen me do, how you've seen me obey, follow these things. We ought to pursue biblical models. We ought to make that an important part of our life. Have friendships with people who are going to pull us up and make us more like Jesus Christ. And fourthly, just practice biblical actions. The same thing over again. Pushing out those old habits of how we should do something. When something comes up and our first response is to utter a certain word, and we know that uttering of that word is not right, we've got to start pushing that out and say, okay, I'm going to do something different. When something comes up and our first reaction is to curl up in our mental ball and not want to relate to anybody, and we know that that's not biblical because it causes stacking in my life, I've got to decide, okay, what can I change in that area? And we start changing those actions. We start practicing the biblical actions. Folks, we've had plenty of time practicing the wrong things. Let's start practicing the right things for the glory of God. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word. You are indeed a gracious God that has given to us wisdom from your word. And I indeed am very humbled to think that you would use me this morning to impact someone's life today. And Father, if you have, I pray that they might make a decision, no, even a step towards change in their life, that they might incorporate your word, that they might learn and receive, that they might take what they've heard and they've seen, and they might allow it to change their lives. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that has not accepted your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe they're in that section where they have no desire to really please you because they've never placed a faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that they might receive the same thing the Apostle Paul did, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and was buried and rose again. Father, I pray that they might embrace that truth even today, that they might have the hope of eternity, that they might be able to embrace not only that truth, but all the other truths we've talked about this morning. Lord, I pray that we might be able to have an answer for anxiety in our life. Lord, this holiday season is a tough time for many, with stressors that are not normally experienced, with anxiety opportunities. And I pray, Lord, that our dear friends here will take your word and use it, not just try it, but use it on a regular basis and see how their lives change as a result, that the peace of God will be with us. Thank you again, Lord, for your time with us, your instruction, the people you brought into our life that are wonderful models. Lord, help us to continually embrace the truth and change for your glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.